Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Mike in studio live with my wife, Linda. And we're going to continue in this series on Christ's vision for the church. And remember, if I back up and show you the big picture, it's upreach, inreach, outreach. Upreach, the church must be God-focused, worshiping God, seeking God, knowing God, serving God, focused on God. And of course, that includes Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son. Secondly, inreach, which we're on right now, which is the body of Christ, the corporate body of believers, reaching into one another rather than you don't just go right from upreach to outreach. You now begin to build up and strengthen the church at large, the body of Christ. And there's so many factors, so many layers of this. We're going to take some time and look at that today. We left off yesterday talking a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit, the importance of inreach, loving one another. Remember, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's upreach. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's inreach. And so, you know, I don't know where I got this outline from. I've had it for so many years, but I think it's very biblical, okay? Now, listen, before we dive into it, I want Linda to take some time to explain to you how you could interact with us. We love to hear from our listeners. I particularly love phone calls, so we could talk to you a bit. But there's several other ways you could communicate with us, and Linda's going to tell you about that.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back with you again today. Hey, we would love to hear from you. Why don't you go ahead, give us a call, and you'd be live on the radio with us. Doesn't that sound like fun? That's 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. Can't handle that thought of being live on the radio, but you have a question or comment. Go ahead and send a text to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. If you're out in Facebook Live land, go ahead and leave a comment. We keep an eye on those. We do want to invite you tonight. We have our midweek service, which is at 6:30 at the Eagle Senior Center. It is a potluck, so bring food to share. Come hungry. It's okay. We had in December a team, a missions team, go to the Philippines. They shared a tiny bit on Sunday morning, but they're going to be sharing tonight some of the stories. Let me tell you, they went to visit a village that lives in a cemetery. Did you hear that? They visited and went to minister to a village where the people live in the cemetery. That one kind of blew me away. I do want to hear more about that and their plans for helping these people. So if you want to come out, join us, if you thought of checking out our church, this would be a good time to come and hear about the outreach part that we're not quite to yet on this show. We've gone through it Sunday morning already. So if you're from our church and you've said, wait, I already heard these messages. Nah, we're going in a lot deeper. We're covering it a lot different than he did Sunday morning. We're going to get into more specifics of inreach and what you can do. So, you know, don't tune us out right away just because, you think you've heard it on Sunday morning. We're going to go in deeper. And if you got comments about how people can be involved and their part within the body of Christ, call us or put it up on Facebook or text us a message. We love to hear what everybody has to say about this.
All right. You know, and everything changes when you open things up to interaction, and both in the studio, which we go over some of my notes from Sunday morning, but we always going off in different directions because My wife and I will interact. She's got thoughts. You know, Linda has been teaching.
And I don't share on Sunday morning with him. No. I don't interrupt and interject. So
like you just did. No, I'm just
like
kidding.
I just did now.
Actually, Linda has been a Bible teacher for many years, teaching women's Bible studies. And I've been teaching both men and women and Sunday morning service, Wednesday night. I've done a lot of different things. And so combined together, you know, we've got two lifetimes worth of Bible study. So listen, the only reason I say that is because it's really hard for either one of us just to sit there and talk and the other one doesn't have something to say. So I love it when we interact and when we're talking about a topic and then Linda's got something to add to it. And it always, you know, men and women think differently, or let alone any two people don't think exactly alike, and it's really cool.
Yes, even us don't think exactly alike.
You know what they say, folks? They say if any two people think exactly alike on everything, one of them isn't thinking, okay? That's just a fact. Now, one of the things, the points I wanted to make about interaction is also on our midweek, Wednesday night. It's very interactive. It's designed so that you can ask questions, so that you can give your input, share your insights. Because I am aware that as a Bible teacher, anytime I'm standing before any number of people teaching the Bible, there's always a high probability that somebody out there knows more about that text or knows something I don't know. And I'm not the know-all, you know, I'm not the know-it-all about the Bible when I'm teaching the Bible. So when we get together on Wednesday night and go through the scriptures, which, by the way, we're going to try to start Proverbs tonight if our missionary sharing doesn't go too long. But if it does, that's fine. That'll be the whole night looking at listening to the testimonies of what happened on our mission trip to the Philippines. But when we get into the book of Proverbs, I imagine that will spur on a lot of different interaction because as we look at the different sayings in Proverbs, the sayings of wisdom, there's going to be questions, there's going to be insights, there's going to be perspectives that maybe you may have that I don't have. And so if you like that kind of Bible study, I want to open up this invitation for you to join us. It's every Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Eagle Senior Center. And we call it our Acts 2:42 fellowship because we do all of the elements in Acts 2:42. It says they continue to steadfastly devote themselves to the apostles' doctrine. We study the Bible together, to the fellowship, that's hanging out with one another, encouraging one another, to the breaking of bread, that's communion. We always have communion every Wednesday night, and to prayer. We always have a time of prayer on Wednesday night. And so that's our Acts 2:42 fellowship. You're all welcome to join us, especially if you like something a little bit smaller. You know, our Sunday morning service has somewhere around 200, could be under, could be over, you never know. And it's not really set up for interaction. On Sunday morning, I'll get up there and I'll share from the Word, and I'm teaching the congregation, and I don't really want Q&A because I'll never get finished with my message. But Wednesday night and the radio show is designed for interaction. We love to hear from you, whether it's coming at our midweek service tonight or whether it's on our radio show. And remember, Linda already told you, you could call in, you could text in by the church phone, or you could text if you're Facebook live streaming, you could text in there. So those are the three ways we're currently doing it. Now, I know another friend I just saw online has a YouTube live video that you could text and interact. I don't know if we could do both at once, Facebook and YouTube. We may have to set up another streaming device or something. So I haven't gone that far yet.
They have figured it out on Sunday morning. So we may have to figure out if there's a way we
can
do
this. That's
good.
We'll talk to Darren about that. Since we're doing it now on Sunday morning, it'd be good to be able to do that here in the radio station. Okay. What we're looking at is inReach. That is the body of Christ reaching into one another. I believe it's important that before you try to reach out to the lost to get them saved and to cause them to come to become one of you, you need to be a healthy church.
Yes.
You need to be a loving, healthy environment so that when people out there get saved and you invite them to the inside, they're invited to a welcoming, loving church and a healthy church family. So that's what we're talking about with inReach. Now, We left off yesterday talking a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and about the manifestation of the Spirit. Let me back up a little bit to chapter 12, verse 1 and get the flow. Linda and I both talked a lot about these first few
chapter
verses.
Chapter 12 of what?
1 Corinthians.
Okay.
Okay. So let me read up to the point where we left off. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, I think Paul's trying to paint this big picture of the activity, the healthy activity in a Christian church. I remember one time I was teaching what's called a believer's meeting, which in the Calvary Chapel movement, they like to focus in on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I had one dear young lady who was one of my high school students who was very gifted musically. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And she says, Pastor Mike, is music my spiritual gift? And I was careful with my response, but I was drawn to this section right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that says there's diversities of gifts, same Spirit, differences of ministries, same Lord, diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And so I pointed out to her, you know, it's certainly in this category of gifts, ministries, and activities, and God will use that for the kingdom of God. Now, she had just, I think this was just before she graduated high school or immediately afterward, you know, we stayed in touch. I had taken her on a mission trip, and she was just a dear sister who loved the Lord and was a very lovable gal. And now she's currently leading the music ministry at Calvary Chapel Downey, where we were at, where we came out of. She's actually leading, working at the school.
At the school.
And I think she leads the choir and several, I don't know all the different things she does, but she is in ministry, working at a Christian school, using her gift of music. And I don't know if you want to call that a spiritual gift, but she's using it for the Lord. And can I tell you, anything you use for the Lord is a spiritual gifting. It's a spiritual blessing to the body of Christ and outward.
Well, you know, if any of you heard her sing, you would say it's a spiritual gift because listening to her, it is a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's how it is with a lot of people. You just know when it's their spiritual gift, you're lifted up by it. You're ministered to, you're blessed by it. Anything I think that you do that people are really edified, they're lifted up, you can kind of think, wait a minute, maybe that is my spiritual gift. We would have never thought radio could be our spiritual gift. We would have never picked this. We still sometimes say, how did we get here? And that's where it had to be a gifting of the Lord, you know, that this is something definitely we did not plan. Remember how we were talking about, was it yesterday when you're talking about some people are very entrepreneurial and you got to plan it all out. If you don't plan it, it doesn't happen. Not true. Look at our lives. We didn't plan most of anything.
We really didn't.
That goes on here. The Lord, but we're flexible. We say, Lord, we want to serve you, so make our lives count. We pray that each and every day together, that we want our lives to count for the Lord. We want to edify, uplift, and exhort the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we want him to use our mouths,
amen,
speak his words, not our words, you know, during this time. And I think because we're willing to do whatever the Lord puts before us, the Lord's put us in places we would have never chosen on our own, but that's okay, you know, because even when we got off the show yesterday, it's like, okay, it just felt good to be back here doing this because this is ministry for us. Yes, we had a wonderful time off on our vacation, but this uplifts us. What do you think?
Yeah, I believe
it really
that
does.
Whenever
yeah.
somebody is in ministry, by the way, here's something else you should all know. I think that ministry ministers to the minister.
Okay? Yes.
I really believe that whenever you serve others, whenever you're in ministry in any level, you get blessed. And, you know, there's been times where, whether it's giving a Bible study or doing a service of some kind, and somebody might come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor Mike, you're such a blessing. You really ministered to me." And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I got ministered to coming. You know, whether it's a hospital call, whether it's teaching a Bible study, convalescent ministry, all the things I've done over the years, I have found that ministry is therapy for my soul. You need to understand that out there. Those of you who aren't involved in ministry on any level and you wondered how come you feel so stale, how come life seems so dry and so empty, well, get involved serving the Lord and serving the Lord's people and get your eyes off yourself and onto helping other people, and it will be therapy for your soul. Now, one of the things that Linda pointed out I think yesterday, and we're touched on it today, is as we're looking at even this spiritual gift, like our that little high school girl that I knew who is now leading the high school ministry choir and other things at Calvary Chapel Downey, you will find that not everything is on a specific list in the Bible. You know, I do this. Is that a spiritual gift? You know, like her question is, I sing and I do music. Well, I can't find in the Bible specifically, except you could find in the Old Testament, now that I'm thinking of it, where when Solomon erected the temple, there were people gifted and all those sort of things as well, silversmith and musicians and stuff like that. But as you go through the spiritual gifts in the New Testament, those spiritual gifts, you may not find your particular gift on a specific list. But that's why I love this these three verses in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, diversities of activities. If it's an activity and use it for the Lord, God bless you. God's going to use it. By the way, the word ministry, differences of ministries, remember we talked about this when we were back looking at the text in Romans 12. Ministry means service.
Yeah.
So whatever you do to serve the Lord, it's a ministry. I can't tell you how important it is that we have people come to our church early and set up chairs because we meet in the gym. We don't have a church building. We keep everything out in the shed and we've got to haul everything back and forth. Some of the more valuable stuff we keep at home, we got to bring it in. The things like chairs and stuff like that we keep in the shed. And so back and forth, we're bringing things. We need people to help us every Sunday to set up. That's a ministry because that is a service unto the Lord, and that is a service of God's people.
And an activity is a work that you do.
Yeah, any
that
kind
is
of
a work.
Motion for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, don't be discouraged if you don't see your specific thing that you like to do listed here, because look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, and realize that whatever you do for the Lord, you could fit it into one of these three things, okay? Now, one of the things I really wanted to take some time for today while we have time is to look at verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, because it says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And I think we just had a minute left, and I started to focus on this word yesterday, manifestation, because there is, there's so much in my heart I want to share about this. Have you ever said, "Where is God? I want to see God"? Or have you ever tried to share the Lord with somebody and they say, "Well, I don't ever experience God. I don't ever see God. Where is God? I've never felt God. Well, he's never manifested himself to me." I'm telling you something, you're missing a real important thing. And I'm going to prove it by the text here, that manifestation of the Holy Spirit takes place in the gathering of the saints. And it takes place in ministry as you serve and as others serve the Lord. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I think what most Christians miss, I think a lot of American Christians particularly, they miss that if you want to experience God, you want God to manifest himself to you, or you want God to manifest himself through you, it comes as we use our spiritual gifts to bless God and to bless others. And so that's why I think people are really getting ripped off when they don't go to church. And if all you ever do is just stay home, listen to the radio. Listen, I thank God for Christian radio, okay? Or watch TV or live stream, like some of you right now are live streaming us. I thank God for all of these things, the technology. But it's not enough.
Because you can't come sit in here with us anyway.
No, I don't want you to. But the thing is, you know, there's times you're sick, you can't leave the house. I understand that. But there is nothing like being there. You know, there's nothing like going where the saints are gathered with the attitude, Lord, use me today. I want to bless somebody and I want to be blessed. And when you go to church with that kind of attitude, you better believe either someone's going to come up to you and say something or do something that's going to bless you, or you're going to find somebody who needs a handshake or needs a hug or needs some prayer. And you could say, how can I pray for you, brother? And I'm telling you, that's where so many people miss out on the experience of God. You don't just stay home and say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me, and you close yourself in your closet. No, I'm not saying God can't show himself to you in that way. God's big enough, he can do anything. And I know stories of people who've experienced God through dreams and through isolated miracles. He can do all that. I'm not putting God in the box. But I'm saying the normal way that God will experience, or that you will experience God, the normal way that God will manifest himself to you is through the gathering of the saints and through as the saints come with the attitude of using their spiritual gifts to bless one another. With that in mind, let me read this verse again. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Here's another thing about the gifts of the Spirit that a lot of people don't get. Some people think a gift, when it comes to gifts of the Spirit, is for me. Well, on your birthday, when you get a gift, yeah, that's for you. And at Christmas time, when you get a gift, that's for you. But spiritually, when you get a gift, that's not for you. It's for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Look at it carefully. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. If you are part of the body of Christ, then God wants to use you to minister to the rest of the body of Christ. This is what inReach is. God wants you to know what your spiritual gifts and callings are, to move and be active in your spiritual gifts and callings, and to bless everyone, as many people as you can, with your spiritual gifts and callings. And too many people just miss out on this, and the church is ripped out when you don't do this sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, and Mike mentioned that one of the problems of staying home and not joining the fellowship is you miss out on that. The other way you can miss out on it, if you bother to get up and you go to the church building, is when you're not willing to use any of your gifts. Mm-hmm. You're just going there needy, needy. Everybody take care of me. You don't have an eye towards Lord, use me, but it's Lord, fix me through all these people. Give me an ear that I can just complain to. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful of that. If God's going to be the manifestation of the Spirit, it means you're practicing a spiritual gift. When we go to church, yes, we go to hear from the Lord, but we should go prepared to be used.
Right.
Lord, how do you want to use me today? Now, I agree. There are sometimes we all go to church needy. After we lost our daughter, don't expect too much from me because I didn't have too much to give. I needed people to love on me. But I didn't live there. I didn't stay there, okay? I stayed there for a period of grief. But I don't live there. Some people live there in that constant mode of neediness, and they don't realize what they really need above everything is to allow the Lord to use them. That's how they would get blessed the most. Now, let me give you a very practical application of this manifestation of the Spirit given to each one for the profit of all.
Mm-hmm.
We always pray when we come in here, Lord, speak through us, use us. If you got words to say to your people, Lord, don't let us get in the way with what we think we have to say that we miss speaking out. And you've heard many times on this radio program, and on Facebook, you've heard us say, I got to tell you this because this is specifically for somebody that's either listening right now or is going to listen to this later. It's a very specific word. You've heard us do that over and over again. That is one way for the manifestation of the spirit. Spiritual gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge coming through over the airwaves just for you. God loves you that much. And because we have the privilege of doing this show, we're always saying, Lord, empty us of us, fill us with your spirit. We want to hear from you. We don't want to come in here and just talk. We want to say what the Lord once said to his people, and he knows who's going to be listening when. So that's one way with the gifts, that manifestation. When you hear us say that, listen up. And if the word is not for you that we're speaking out, then pray for the person that that word is for, because they may not want to hear what we had to say. Okay. You know how that is. Sometimes the Lord gives you a word, and sometimes what we say is a rebuke. You know, hey, when we were going through the marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we got into some real rebuke stuff. You know, we were dealing with adultery, porn, and all those things. And we're outright throwing out there, stop it, Christian, if you're caught up in this. If that word is specifically thrown out there for someone, they may not want to hear it. So if the words we speak out are not for you specifically, please pray for the person that they are. And we trust wholeheartedly. We look at each other afterwards. We're driving home and it's like, wow. I just knew that was the Lord. I had to say that. Somebody needed to hear it that day. So I just want to throw in one of those real practical applications that you and I do. Just sitting here, being on the radio, being on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we allow the Lord to work through us.
Yeah, it's a great joy. You know, can I tell you, folks, there is nothing more fulfilling than being used by the Lord. You know, some people have won medals and prizes and badges doing different things and, you know, trophies. You know, in the course of my life, I've won different things, but there's nothing as fulfilling and satisfying as serving the Lord and knowing that God used you to minister to somebody else. And so, my brother, my sister, if you have not experienced that, then get plugged into a healthy fellowship, find your place in the body of Christ, discover your gifts, and use them to bless others. It will be therapeutic for you, and then you will be blessing the body of Christ. It's just so important, and not just important because they need you, but it is the most fulfilling life that you can live, a life of service to the Lord, being used by the Lord. And at the end of the day, knowing that God used you, there is no better way. You know, there's times you lay your head on the pillow at the end of the day, you feel bad about something you did or said, right? There's nothing, no guilt. There's nothing bad about it. At the end of the day, you realize you used your day to serve the Lord. So anyway, continuing on here, and I don't want to get into details about the gifts, but there's a list here in 1 Corinthians 12 after verse 7 that says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There's a list of some examples. Now, some people also jump to conclusion thinking this is all the spiritual gifts there are. I've already told you that the way you serve the Lord may not be found in a list in the scripture, but here's a list of some of them. Let me just quickly go through them. For to one is given the word of wisdom. That means, you know, God gives you just the right word of wisdom to say to someone, to minister to them through the Spirit. Another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. That means there's something you didn't know that God gives you information about that you could not have known other than the Lord showed it to you. I know there's been times in witnessing, when I've been witnessing the people, where the Lord will show me something about them, and I'll say, the reason why you say that is because, and fill in the blank, I'm not going to go into details right now, but the Lord showed me something about their life that I could not have known any other way other than the Lord showed it to me. That's the word of knowledge, okay? Goes on, another, faith by the same Spirit. And this isn't just, this isn't saving faith. This is faith to step out and pray or step out and act, step out and obey God. Each one of these have an application. I'm not going to go into the detail, but I do hear the music. That means we need to take a station break. We'll be back in about 60 seconds, so don't go away.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned, Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
Yep, and we would love to hear from you, as that little commercial spot said. There is really, I really believe that one of the things that just brings our radio ministry to life is when we hear from you, whether by way of text, and I have noticed some of you guys have been texting on Facebook, and I don't know if Linda got anything on the church phone yet, but when we get a phone call, I also take that as from the Lord, that somebody has a question or comment, and we'll run with that, okay? So I'm not begging, but I'm just telling you, the lines are open, and you're welcome to call us.
You know, before we get too far away from this manifestation of the Spirit, and when you go to church, go looking to serve and how God can use you rather than what can God do for me today? And I want to challenge you, okay? For those of you that have not experienced this, I want to challenge you. Go ahead this Sunday to church. Just try it. Give it a try one Sunday. What's it going to hurt that you're not going to look for people to comfort you or to do something for you? But you're going to go with open eyes and say, Lord, how do you want to use me this morning? You'll be surprised what the Lord points out to you. You will see somebody hurting that you may have missed because you were looking for somebody to talk to you instead. Mm-hmm. And the Lord may put it on your heart to go over and just ask someone, how you doing? Everything okay? It starts that simple by looking, Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, how can I bless this body being here today? Mm-hmm. So I challenge you, give it a try. And you try it this Sunday, give us a call next week and tell us what the Lord did, okay? We want to hear those things.
Yeah, and you notice Linda didn't say, come to our church. You can. You're welcome. We'd love to have you. But, you know, there are a lot of good, healthy churches in the Treasure Valley, and find one of them. And when you find one, don't just be a spectator. Don't just sit there going, bless me, I don't get enough out of the music, or I wish the preacher would do this, or I wish – be a part of the solution. When you get plugged into a church, be a part of the blessings that you could bless others while you're there rather than just go to receive, go to give, okay? So as I was reading this gift just before – this gift, a list of gifts before the station break, and it says what's given by the Spirit is faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, which each one of these I could teach a Bible study on because a lot of people believe there's no such thing as the gifts of healing anymore. Now, let me just clarify something. Some people put it down by saying, well, if there was somebody with the gift of healing, he could just go into a hospital and empty the hospital. Well, wait a second. Even the Apostle Paul didn't do that. Even Jesus didn't do that. There are some towns he didn't do much healing in because it says they didn't have any faith. They didn't, especially with the towns that watched him grow up and knew who he was, he had less effect there. Okay. So I believe that the gifts of healing could mean I've known I've known a brother who had a gift of healing, and yet it didn't mean he could use it anytime he wanted on anybody he wanted. It meant there were times quite often where the Lord would use him to lay hands on somebody and pray and they'd be healed. But don't just think these gifts are like, once you have them, you've got like some kind of superpower. A gift of the Spirit is as the Lord leads you, when the Lord tells you to use them, and who the Lord tells you to use them with. It's not just you now have a superpower, okay?
Well, you know, let me throw this out there and slap my hand if I'm wrong, okay? But I don't think a gift of healing has to be miraculous. Boom! You know, I prayed and all of a sudden they're walking, leaping, and praising God. That was Jesus. That was the apostles. We don't see much of that. But with this gift of healing, because people want to say, oh, I don't have the gift of healing, they're afraid to pray for people that are sick. Can't we just pray, trusting and asking the Lord to heal, whether it they feel great immediately or they feel great over a week? We took the time, that heart of compassion we talked about yesterday, and we prayed for them, okay? Now, there is a very specific gift of healing, okay? And I think it is not as, like Mike said, it's not a hocus pocus. You can use it whenever. The Lord chooses to do that sometimes, and he'll do it for a purpose, usually in proclaiming himself and nothing else, you know, through it, that someone would see the Lord is real, okay? But I think with this healing, instead of be afraid of it, we should pray for everyone, just like you've talked about in the past, that you got tired of, well, God, if you feel like it, I know you could, and maybe if you want to. And you decided you were going to pray in faith.
Right.
And you're going to pray just asking, Lord, heal. And that doesn't mean it has to be spontaneous. We can't be afraid to pray for people to get better, because they don't get better absolutely immediately right that second. Do you know what I mean by that?
Right.
You know, Mike, tell us more about how you came to that conclusion, because you can put it in your words better than I could.
Well, it's actually a long story, but there was a time when I went on a mission trip with a brother from a Positive Confession Church, and we were both spent many hours in the same car and doing the same ministry, and we were trying to... It started out a little bit of a debate, okay? And I'm sure that, you know, what was it? One day I ended up, I don't want to make this too long, but one day we had a day off and it was rainy and there wasn't a whole lot we could do. So I went over, knocked on his door. We were in a hotel, and I just went and sat in his room. We talked for a while. And he was very gifted musically. As a matter of fact, he was one of the original Temptations. And we took him in the prisons, and he was singing just a real powerful time of ministry, because some of the old school guys who remember the Temptations knew this guy, and it was kind of cool. But he was in a Positive Confession church at the time. We had a long talk, and I'm sure there were things that I got across to him that you just can't claim everything when something's promised to somebody else that's not necessarily promised to you. We hammered through a lot of scriptures. But the one thing where he got through to me is when Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, whatsoever things you want, you pray, believing that you have received them, and they shall be yours. And now, I always kind of resent it when people just arrogantly claim this and claim that. But as I carefully looked at that scripture, and as we talked open-heartedly together, I realized I had been kind of copping out when I prayed. I realized I was kind of just copying out in the way that when I want to pray for somebody, it's a good thing. I know it's something that God would be glorified if this guy's healed, that instead of praying, God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would heal this person. I'm asking in faith, and I'm asking that you hear our cry and answer right now in Jesus' name. Instead of doing that, I would find myself dancing all around it and saying stuff like, well, God, maybe it's not your will for this guy to be healed. Stop it. The Lord really used that encounter, that time of discussion, and that whole trip to show me that I need to be praying in faith, because one of the things that we Christians do in fear is we're afraid to pray in faith, because what if God doesn't hear us? What if God doesn't answer that prayer? And say I'm praying for somebody who's sick, and it's something big like cancer, and I'm going, Lord, I'm praying right now that you would heal this person, and I'm believing you for healing in Jesus' name, and I used to not pray that way because I think, well, what if it's not God's will for them to be healed, or what if God doesn't heal them? Well, that's not my problem. That's God's problem, okay? My job description is to pray and to pray in faith. And so I've chosen years ago that I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray in faith, and I'm going to pray believing, according to that verse in Mark, that what you know, whatever you pray, pray that you've received it. It's one of those things I had to change my attitude about. And I hope, my brothers and sisters out there, that you're open, that when you find somebody who has a different view than you, that you're open enough to talk it through and to recognize that maybe you need to adjust your thinking a little bit also. You know, I love apologetics. I love to, you know, to correct people when they're wrong and to show people the realities of Scripture and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's important to love being corrected as well. When you go, I love the Lord, I love His Word, I love to use it to instruct others, but I love when the Lord corrects me with His Word.
With His Word. That's the important part.
Right.
Not just somebody's doctrine.
Right.
Or what their church teaches.
Right. I want to be
what the Word of God says.
I want to be willing to be corrected by the Word of God. So let me encourage you all in that direction. Okay, boy, and that all came from talking about gifts of healing. And Linda brought out that, you know, sometimes the Lord can use somebody, even like a doctor, or someone, or there's holistic approaches of healing, and it doesn't all necessarily have to be miraculous. But this next verse is miraculous. It says, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Okay, you can't get around that one. Now, here's the thing. There are times when God will, and again, when it says to another, to another, to another, I think sometimes He'll give you faith, the gift of faith to pray something and believe it in faith. And there's other times something hits you and you just don't have the faith to claim it or pray it. Or, you know, there's different situations, and it's not always this person now has the gift of faith all the time, or this person now has the gift of healing all the time. You know, that's where the so-called faith healers get picked on a lot. By the non-charismatics, the cessationists, those who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They say, well, if you've got the gift of healing, then go into a hospital and clear it of sick people. Well, I think there's times God has used me to pray for somebody and to pray in faith, and I've seen people be healed. But that doesn't mean now all of a sudden I've got a new superpower and I could go in empty hospitals, okay? So these gifts of the Spirit are given when God wants to give them, to whom God wants to give them to, and who you're supposed to use them in. It's all being led by the Spirit, folks. This is the concept of being led by the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, and to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And yes, before I just get off of this, let me tell you something. I believe that the gift of tongues is an active gift today. I have the gift of tongues. I speak in tongues, but I do it biblically. According to 1 Corinthians 14, we're not supposed to just go speaking out in tongues all the time everywhere unless there's an interpreter. But I speak in tongues as a prayer language, as the Scriptures teach. Read 1 Corinthians 14. We're not going to get into the whole thing today. But I just want you to know, if you're wondering where we stand on these things, folks, I believe all the gifts of the Spirit are active today, that they haven't passed away, that the arguments that they have ceased, I think those are weak arguments. I think even if you just use it like, look, oh, well, we don't see them so much today. Well, there has always been an ebb and flow of miraculous events in church history. There were times in church history where things were dead and you don't see a whole lot of spiritual gifts active. There are other times in certain revivals you see certain spiritual gifts standing out. If you do a careful study throughout church history, you will see all of the gifts of the Spirit have ebbed and flowed. They're predominant and obvious in certain periods of church history, and there are other times there was silence. But the silence or the absence of spiritual gifts does not mean that they're not real. It just could mean that the church is in a backslidden condition, or it could mean that there is a deadness because of sin, or God just is holding His hand for some reason or another, okay? But I really believe you could build a case in Scripture that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have not ceased. They're still active and available today.
And I think that you will see a lot of these gifts come forth when there is a revival going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you definitely see it more. And because the church is on fire. The church is in love with the Lord. He's their first love, their right. eyes, their right. focus. Everything is on the Lord. But as that revival seems to wane and people's hearts grow cold and they become lethargic again, you don't see it as much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because people aren't focusing on God. Right. They're focusing on themselves and what they want to do and their own pleasures. And then they start to focus on sin and it all quenches the Holy Spirit. But I think we're to one of the most important
right.
scriptures coming
right.
up next. So.
Right, right. Oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah, you okay. take it.
Okay. Yeah, the next verse that we need to really talk about is verse 11. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. And Paul says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So here's the bottom line, folks, that any gift of the Holy Spirit, and there's much more than, like I said, much more than what's listed in this short list here. It's up to the Holy Spirit who he gives what gift to and when he gives it and so on. And so distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, folks, it all comes down to what you and I need to pray on a regular basis is, Lord, lead me by your Spirit. Teach me what it means to be led by the Spirit. Teach me what it means to be Spirit-led. And we pray for that every time we go on the radio. We pray for that every time we're on our way to church on Sunday morning. Anything we do in life, we don't just automatically assume, well, I've got this spiritual gift and I'm going to use it. It's like, Lord, fill me and refill me. We need to be filled and refilled. And Lord, as you see fit, use me this day. Okay. So that's what we're talking about, spiritual gifts.
You know, I think one of the real important things is as he wills. It's his choice. It's the right. Lord's choice. How he gifts you. He has a work for each one of us. He knows if we're a hand, if we're a foot, if we're an arm, if we're a leg in the body of Christ, and he knows what gifts we need to perform that activity. One of the problems that comes up is when somebody is not a head. They're really supposed to be a hand, but they want to be a head.
Yeah.
So they try to muster up the gifts that would be required for the head. Do you get where I'm going with this? And it's them trying to muster up the gifts or following a pattern that they've been taught. Hey, back in the Jesus movement, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the whole question was, do you have to pray in tongues? Do you not have to pray in tongues? You know, some churches said that was your sign you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they would give you a little chance to, okay, repeat this after me, kind of like let's prime the pump here. You start gibbering and then, you know, all this gibberish stuff and then maybe it'll come out, you know. You know, I don't believe in going there. If the Lord has given you a gift of tongues, you're going to know it and it's going to flow from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is going to flow as a natural thing. And no, we do not do public speaking of tongues at our church, in case anybody's afraid of that. No, we don't believe that is the place for it whatsoever. More than anything, I would say both of us would use tongues within our prayers.
Right.
Our prayer language, you know. So, and I think that could even be different than the tongues that would be verbally, you know, put out there before other people mm-hmm. that need the interpretation. Mm-hmm. Oh my, we don't really want to go to that study. But the main thing is the Lord knows what gifts you need and when you need them. Your job is to be open and willing when he prompts you, when he directs you. You know, when I do my women's study, I tell them, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that each one of us have a divine appointment each day. If you woke up and you're still breathing, the Lord has a job for you. That day he has something. If it is simple as you just pray for people that day, if it's you're out shopping and the Lord just says, talk to that person, if you need to go take a meal to somebody, you need to go help somebody, Somebody is snowed in. You need to go shovel their walk for them. All of these little things could be divine appointments that the Lord has something specific he wants you to do that day. He will gift you for it. He will not ask you to go out and shovel somebody's driveway if you're sick in bed and you can't get up, okay? You know, he's not going to do that. But you could pray for people. But you got to be open, and you got to be looking, and you've got to be willing, and you've got to, when someone comes to your mind, for me, this is a real catch-all I learned a long time ago. Somebody comes to my mind, there's nothing that reminded me of them, there's no reason I should be thinking of them. I am trusting that is the Holy Spirit putting them on my heart, and I will pray for them. Okay. And if that was my divine appointment for that day, was to pray for that person, then at least I heard. And you know what? If they're not going through something traumatic, it never hurts to pray for somebody. All of us can use prayer every day because we're all going through something all the time. So let him work through you that way. But it takes that same thing I talked about when you go to church. Instead of looking each day, who's going to take care of me today? Who can I call up and cry on their shoulder because they'll feel sorry for me? How about if you get up and think, wow, I'm having a pretty miserable time, but there's got to be somebody having a more miserable time than me. Who can I think of that's hurting worse than me, and what can I do for them instead?
Amen.
Okay. Like I said, when we lost our daughter, everybody stepped up and did stuff for us and didn't expect anything in return because we had nothing to give in return. There are times like that. You don't know how much that blesses someone when they've just gone through a tragedy like that and people step up and unconditionally love them. I had to just go around apologizing to everybody. I'm sorry I didn't send a thank you note. I don't even know who did or gave or brought what because my mind was so out of it. I didn't do thank you notes and then I feel guilty afterwards. And everybody's like, we would never expect them. It was just such unconditional love. Sometimes we just need to do that. And that is a gift. So many gifts can be put into effect when you know there's someone hurting. If you can cook a good meal, they might just need one, okay? If you can go pick up something at the store for them, they may not feel like going out into public. You know, little things can be the Lord using you, and that can be your divine appointment that day, but you got to be looking for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Preached enough there. Sorry about that, folks.
All right. Well, listen, we just have probably less than 5 minutes left. I'm hoping that maybe we could touch one more element of Christian fellowship that I've been wanting to get to. And that's Ephesians chapter 4. It's an element of inreach that's described by Paul when he's laying out what the church should look like and what the church is and how God established the church. And it's what a lot of people call the fivefold ministry. And this is especially popular in Pentecostal circles because Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. And so that's what people call the fivefold ministry, particularly the Pentecostal sections of the church, because they will almost kind of boast and say, you know, your church only has pastors and teachers, but we have apostles, prophets, and your church has evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and you only have three elements of the five, but we have prophets and apostles. Get it? I hope I didn't confuse it. So a lot of our Pentecostal friends will really use that and say, we preach the fivefold ministry. But I'm telling you something, if you only have fivefold ministry in your church, you've fallen short. Because Ephesians 4:12 says that all of these five, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are for the purpose of the sixth. It says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, who's supposed to do the ministry? Were the apostles and prophets and the evangelists and teachers and pastors? No. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it's the saints that are called to do the ministry. The fivefold, the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, their job is to equip the saints, equip the rest of the church. That's if you're born again, you're a saint. That's the way the New Testament approaches this word saint, which a lot of people have used incorrectly. Every Christian, every born-again person is a saint, a child of God. And when you go to church, you're being trained for ministry. When you listen to a prophet speak or read the apostles' writings or listen to an evangelist, you are being trained for ministry. And so keep that in mind here. Let me read it again with that in mind. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see how that corrects a lot of things? Too many people think that they're going to church to watch the pastor do ministry. They're going to church to listen to the evangelist do the ministry. But in reality, God's plan is that you, the saints, you go to church to be equipped for ministry as you listen to these other fivefold ministries listed in verse 11. And it says, you're being equipped for ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's another key that you could miss. That's inreach. When you go to church, you're being trained in ministry, you're being equipped for ministry so that you could edify the body of Christ. That means you're called to minister to others. And that's why when Linda and I, we pray, and of course you'll hear quite often if you attend our church, I always say, Lord, multiply ministry. And what I mean by that is, it's not just ministry isn't just from me. It's not just from the worship team. It's not just from the prayer team. Ministry is to be multiplied as the saints, everybody in church comes to be equipped and trained for ministry. I hope you realize that next time you go to church. I hope when you go to church, you realize that God wants to train you and equip you for ministry so that you could make a difference in the body of Christ, so that you could maybe somehow edify others in the body of Christ, so that maybe you can leave church and begin to share the gospel with people outside the body of Christ, that you listen to an evangelist. Maybe your pastor is very evangelistic. You're being equipped. You're being trained to be an evangelist. When you leave that church, when you leave that crusade, when you leave that outreach ministry, whatever meetings you go to, you're being trained to be in the ministry. So catch that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Look at it yourself. We'll pick up here tomorrow. I can hear the music. Our time is up. Lord bless you.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to